Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives and compels us toward gratitude and generosity.
We're back with an Imprint Church podcast called Abound in Hope. My name is Tom Regan. I am here with Tom McGregor. We're calling this segment Between Two Toms. That was an idea given to us by somebody. We liked it. So Between Two Toms is here today. We used to do video with this. Now we're just focused on the audio, which is why I'm in pajamas today and shirtless.
No, just kidding. And I'm 12 feet across the room. Yeah. Oh, do I need to be
closer? Keep that mic in front of your mouth. All right, we are back. And today, we are going through another one of our, what we call our church vital signs. So as a church, we want to be a healthy church. We want to be a church that's known for our focus on Jesus, our gratitude to God, and our whole life generosity in response to the good news of Jesus and his kingdom. So officially in our mission statement, we want to be a church that is making, multiplying grateful and generous disciples through the gospel of Jesus Christ. In order to fulfill the mission of Jesus, but part of that then, an important part of that, is establishing what we want to be called and considered a healthy church culture. We want to be on the move together, growing in Christ-like maturity, impacting the world with the kind of faith and love that moves outwards. And we're doing this together, seeking to impact families, neighborhoods, cities in our world. And if we're going to do that, we're doing this in participation with one another and with God himself. And today, then, our topic of discussion is generosity. That's one of our vital signs. So, McGregor, tell us, it's in our vision statement, generosity. So why do you think that we have that in our statement? Why are in our vital signs? What's important about this? Why are we talking about this today?
Yeah, I think we talk about generosity as a church and as Christians because God is generous. The Father, Son, and Spirit are generous. They did not have to create the cosmos, but out of like a self-giving love and an overabundance of their character, they create this universe and invite human beings into participation.
So the impulse for God to create was out of sheer generosity to share what the Godhead had, the Father, Son, and Spirit shared together from all eternity. It's not that God needed anything. Paul says to the Athenians, to the pagans, that God doesn't need anything. He's not one who is served by human hands as though he needed anything, but we all have our life and being in him. Mm-hmm. So the impulse to create was not anything external pressing on God. There's nothing external to him at that point.
The universe was unnecessary.
Right.
He was already whole within himself, not lonely, not needing anything. And out of sheer generosity, he creates and invites humans into that story. And then, of course, everything went wrong because we wanted the gift, but not the giver.
We wanted the stuff.
Yeah, we wanted the stuff. And we took it and continue to do so. That's the story of humanity. And God's response is generosity again, right?
Like, instead of just wiping us.
Yeah, like every right to do so, and instead generously comes into the presence of sin and invites relationship, provides for relationship, protects, you know, out of this space of abundance, the consequences of sin put humanity outside of that, but he continues to provide.
Right, immediately when they sin in the garden, he clothes them. Right?
Yeah.
He clothes them and he tells them there's consequences and they're banished from the garden. He had promised them, in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, they didn't drop dead physically on the ground, but now death was introduced into the creation and they were separated from God. That's the death as they're exiled from the garden, right?
And just goes to show, like, Satan is a literalist and it's dangerous to read your Bible too literally when the genre
out
doesn't
of context.
Demand.
Yeah.
read your Bible in context.
Right, context is key.
Yeah, so life.
And he makes a promise in the garden, right? In 3:15, he says that the seed of the woman, the offspring, is going to bruise the head of the serpent.
Yeah, I'll provide vindication. I'll provide victory.
Someone who is going to be an offspring, a descendant of the woman, is going to crush the head of the serpent and crush all evil and rebellion.
It's like he can't even really help himself. Like, God is so generous that
that's just who he is.
Every moment you see throughout the story of the Hebrew Bible, this overly generous being that can't help but overflow with self-giving love. So he creates a people that will be his image in the nations, you know, and this will be the just society that provides for the needs of the poor, that images mm-hmm. God in this generosity, you know, just one of many ways that they will image God as a nation together. But it includes incredibly just laws, including like the year of Jubilee, which biblical evidence would suggest Israel never actually celebrates. But it's this entire year where like everybody who leveraged themselves in order to have like some sort of sense of survival, mm-hmm. some security, all their debts are forgiven.
Right.
Like abundance reigns. It's like this little picture of what life was like supposed to be like.
Right.
And of course, like we know the story of Israel is one of failure, which requires that the seed, this generous God is going to have to provide generously for the need of humanity himself.
Right. So in what way are we seeing that generosity is pointing us forward to, even in the Old Testament, generosity is pointing us forward to the gospel and the good news of the kingdom that's coming?
Yeah, I think, you know, generosity presupposes that you own the stuff you're giving. Right?
Right.
Whether it's stuff or yourself, it presupposes that it's yours to give, that there is a need. And the reality is there is a huge need. You know, the Hebrew Bible says, like, humans are dead. Paul will say, you're dead in your trespasses.
Yeah.
It's totally true. Like, you're helpless. You have a need outside of yourself. And therefore, humans can't provide for their own need. They can't be generous to themselves with something they don't own.
Right.
So it's got to be God that steps in.
And I don't want to fast forward us too much because we'll come back around to this. But when we think generosity, and we'll come back, but mm-hmm. sometimes we think like financially and being generous. But when you're talking about being generous and God being generous, he's seeing our need. So this is,
yeah.
There's physical needs, but there's a spiritual need. You were saying we were dead in our trespasses and sins apart from God. We can't fix ourselves. We don't have the resources within ourselves to fix our spiritual condition in which we are alienated from and dead apart from God, and only God himself can solve that problem for us.
Yeah.
Right? And so God has to do something. Well, not has to. There's nothing outside of him. But if we are going to come
well,
to life.
If he wants to get what he wants,
right.
And he does. He says that humans are what he wants.
He's going to be generous and give something to us in order to solve our problem of sin and death. So there's generosity.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think one of the biggest barriers to real... So think about health, right? This is why it's a vital sign for us. Generosity is a vital sign because churches can grow simply by having good programs, good worship, and good teaching. But growth alone is not a sign of health.
Right.
Churches can be financially stable without generosity. People will typically give to a good preacher or a good ministry that like watches their kids while they take a break or, you know, et cetera.
Right. Yeah, sometimes the assumption is, oh, things are growing, like people are coming in. That may be a good sign. It may be a sign of health,
maybe.
But it might not be. I've often said I had a brain tumor and cancer cells were multiplying and dividing and growing. So there's some growth that's unhealthy. Yeah. There's gangrene growth. There's cancer growth. There's all kinds of stuff.
And healthy things will always grow.
Right.
And even when, like, you know, they reach maturity. So, like, a human adult stops, you know, growing in size, but they continue to grow as far as producing multiplication. So growth is important as a vital sign, but healthy growth for us has been identified and correlated with generosity.
So why is generosity a sign of church health?
Because I think real generosity is not just about giving up some of your time and showing up on Sunday or showing up on group. Mm. And I think it's way more than just giving your stuff away. The picture we have from God is that he gives his whole self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich.
He didn't just send some resources down, Amazon packages and drones that came down. He gave himself.
Yeah, himself.
His whole life.
And it's not just him. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son.
The Father gave his son.
Like, I mean, talk about generous.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Jesus and the Father send the Spirit to us. They give themselves to us. And certainly that includes resources.
I mean,
we live in a physical, material world.
Right.
And so stuff is part of it. But if it just stops at stuff, it's...
I mean, think about what child who loves their father would be okay with their father just giving them stuff and just writing checks and buying.
There are families, right?
Yeah, we make sad movies. That's a good point. We make sad movies about that. Father who makes a lot of money gives the kid stuff, and the stuff doesn't match what the kid wants because the kid needs relationship with the father. And so the father needs to give himself to the child for the child's needs to really be met. And God sees our need and he gives himself to us, not just
so
stuff.
Think about like the most joyful people you know. And the most joyful people I know are usually the most generous. They're the most unencumbered.
Right.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I think that for us, the reason it's a vital sign is because real generosity understands where generosity comes from. It comes from a generous God through the gospel and where it's leading. When you reduce generosity to just stuff, then it becomes, well, let me back up. When you think about generosity as me giving my stuff, our time, our resources, our talents, then it reduces generosity to something that is mine. And if it's mine, then it's a free choice, but it also means it's a choice. It's not an obligation. There's no duty.
So how should we look? What do you think is a healthier way of looking at giving? Let's go with the stuff. Like, how should we look at giving our, how should we think about our stuff?
Yeah, I know. It's
and
so
then
hard
giving
to stop.
Our stuff. You know what I mean?
You know, I say our stuff all the time, but I know, like, well, it's not mine. We've been entrusted. We've been commissioned. We're stewards. But then I was thinking about it this week and I was like, that's not right. That's not true. It is our stuff. We have been adopted by the Father through the Son. We've been given an inheritance of the cosmos and him. Like, you know, we're his inheritance, but we're his sons who inherit with him, co-heirs. The promise of Revelation 3 is that we are going to literally sit on his throne with him. Paul tells the Corinthians, don't you know you will judge angels? So
I was like, when I first read that, I was like, actually didn't know that. It's like, of all the things that Paul says, like, don't you know you're going to judge angels? Like, we are?
Yeah.
They knew that? Maybe maybe he probably taught them that when he was there in Corinth, and then so he's like, hey, I've already gone over this with you. Don't you know this?
Could be.
But as the readers today, I'm like, oh, actually, I didn't know we were going to judge angels. I don't even know what that means, Paul. Can you
I wonder if he's not like referencing some obscure Old Testament passage that he's like, it's so obvious. Come on, you guys. We're like,
I hope not. I missed that.
Footnote in there?
I missed that, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so it is our stuff. He's literally given it to us. But then as, and here's to me the profound thing about generosity. The origin of the English word generosity is from like way back when there was the gentry and the nobility and all that kind of stuff, you know, a bunch of people wearing fancy hats and generosity meant like looking or acting or being, like the nobility. Initially when it first came out, it was you were nobility, and then it came to mean you act like that.
Okay. Yeah.
And so if we're going to be generous, then of course it means we bear a family resemblance to the most generous being in the cosmos. It means we participate in his mission to reconcile all things.
Right. And then maybe part of that then is if we see God giving him his whole self, he gives his son, the son gives his whole self. And then when the son ascends, and then they send the spirit, father and son send the spirit to us, the whole spirit, then we should see ourselves as giving our whole selves, right? If it's family resemblance, then we're saying our father, who we're supposed to bear resemblance to, has not just given us things or stuff. He has given us those things, but also his entire self. And so maybe then we view our own generosity as the people of God. If we're going to bear the family resemblance of not just compartmentalizing generosity into these categories of, I mean, although they can be helpful, time,
talent,
yeah, treasure, sure. touch, you know, those kinds of things, but not compartmentalizing them so much so that if you write a check to somebody in need, you're like, well, I did it.
Yeah.
I've been generous. Yeah. Obviously, that's good. Praise God for that. But how else is God calling me? And then talk about a little bit the sense of like obligation versus privilege. I don't know if some people feel obligated to give, and it can sort of feel works-based. Like,
totally.
So what are your thoughts on that?
So I come from Portland, and there's a fair amount of kind of more socially conscious churches that kind of lean that way, you know, where it feels like, man, this is our duty, and we have to, which can produce a lot of guilt if you're not. Or
pride if you're really good at it and you're doing better than other people.
But then eventually you burn out because you're like, you're under this false assumption that it's 100% all the time, no breaks, you're going to become the Messiah. Yeah. And that's wrong too. But the reality is, like, if we are becoming like Jesus, if we're becoming conformed to the image of the Son, then we're going to look like him. And it's not an obligation anymore. It's just part of who we are. And so the reason generosity is a great vital sign is that it proceeds from love. The Father gives because he is love. It proceeds from this care for others. It indicates that our hope is not in our stuff or our time or our family or anything other than, like, we have a real sense that God has won and that the future is secure. And so our security is in him.
And we can feel free to give of ourselves because the Lord will take care of us.
Yeah. It's the difference between like an abundance mindset and a scarcity mindset. You know, in the garden, there's abundance. Food's everywhere. You don't have to work for it. You have the privilege of caring and cultivating and tending and worshiping. When a resource is scarce. So, I mean, like, one of the first things I noticed about moving to this area is that the resource that's scarce isn't money, it's time.
It's time, right?
Like, it is literally, like,
everyone spends so much time in their car, and maybe some of you are in your car right now listening to this podcast.
Totally. And then there's, like, this, the scarcity of time with family and with relationships and for fun and relaxation. And it's like, when we give our most scarce resource, it's an indication that our priorities are different than the culture.
Right. Yeah, for sure. You know, going back to the idea of feeling freedom to be generous, I think that if we're, and we'll talk a bit more about, like, what are some practical things we can do, but just as sort of a fundamental conviction, I think, about being generous is we have to have is that God himself is continually nonstop generous to us, which then enables us to have a generous mindset. So this is what it said. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9, which, by the way, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is basically the gold mine of generosity, right? And so 2 Corinthians 9, 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. And in context, he's encouraging the Corinthian church to give to the for the collection that he's going to take for the saints in Jerusalem. And then he goes on to say, he who supplies bread seed to the sower and bread for food will supply a multitude for your... He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase your harvest of righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. So you will be enriched for the sake of being generous. And when we are generous to others, then that, he says, produces thanksgiving to God. So gratitude actually is the fruit of receiving generosity.
Well, and not only that, he says five or six that it produces worship, that other people will see.
Right.
Like,
and give thanks.
Yeah, yeah. I think the thing that's the verse that's been instrumental for me personally in trying to understand the kind of the nexus point between, like, the free gift and grace of God and my salvation and the opportunity and the privilege of good works is Ephesians 2, where it's like, for grace you've been saved through faith, not, you know, this isn't your own. And then normally we stop quoting the verse right there, right? But then he goes on in 10, and he says, for we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them.
Right, made for good works. A life of good works is a life of generosity.
It's
right?
awesome. Yeah, and the other one that's awesome is Paul when he's like, as you know, Jesus says it's better to give than to receive. And like you were saying earlier, where was that?
Yeah,
where does he say it? And it's that's not anywhere. And so it must have been like so widely well known that everybody's like, oh yeah, of course, that's right.
Shoot. And I go, do I believe that? You know,
yeah.
It's easy to to see the principles, but then I often feel like, wow, do I believe that I'm more blessed if I give than if I receive?
Well,
I think in the times that I have given away, I do feel that.
Yeah.
But it's so easy for me to go back to, like, blessed are those who receive. You know, you know what I mean? Like,
do you have the spiritual gift of receiving?
I have the spiritual gift of receiving. Bless me. You know.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think like with that. More blessings for the giver than the receiver. Think about that, like with the stuff that you don't want to give up, whether it's your time or it is your money. Maybe is money. Maybe it's like a gift that you have that like it's not very convenient to share. You're afraid to.
Right?
Is it really like more blessed to give and receive?
And I think that rather than saying, well, gosh, I should do this, is go back to what is God like? What is God? I try to think of that, you know, rather than just think about my behavioral, decision is what is God like? And then if I really get into my heart, like what God is like, then that becomes the force for my generosity and for my sacrifice. And I think that Paul then would call our minds back to consider the sacrifice of Jesus. This is a key verse in my thinking about generosity. I like how you say whole life generosity because that encompasses everything. So he says, again, 2 Corinthians, this is 5:15, and he that is Christ died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So what's interesting about that is he says that he indicates that the default position of the human heart is to live for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be freed of that default position. He needs to rewire us. We're in our broken wiredness because of sin.
It ruins
we just
everything.
Live for ourselves.
Yeah.
But then Christ died for us. For what reason? So that we who were living for ourselves would no longer live for ourselves, but for him. So there's a complete reorientation. Before Christ, we were oriented in on ourselves, or was it Luther, curved in on ourselves. And through Christ, then he is curving us outward. He is reorienting us and turning us outward. And so the sacrifice of Jesus becomes for me the very illustration of someone giving their life, him giving his life away for me so that I would give my life away for him and for the sake of other people.
Yeah. And he says he came to set people free. And I think generosity is a key indicator of how free we really are. I think that it's the old hippie adage.
Which is?
Do you own your stuff or does your stuff own you, man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good question. So what should we do? Like, let's land the plane here. Like, what should we do as individuals and hopefully as a church culture to cultivate that value of generosity without turning it into some sort of, obviously we're talking through these things and motivations. It's really important to talk through motivations rather than just the actions, because you can try to strive at doing the actions, but if the motivation isn't there, you're just driving at a religious kind of mindset. I'm just going to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I think the key is, the struggle for faith is to believe Jesus when he says, this is what the good life looks like. Do we really believe Jesus in everything he taught, or are we going to pick and choose? And for me, that requires a lot of prayer and a lot of processing emotions, thoughts, feelings, etc. And so I'd just encourage you to pray. Like, if you don't feel generous, or you've identified an area of your life where it's like, I'm kind of actually stingy with that, pray about it. Like, talk to Jesus. And then also, if you are feeling generous but don't know where to start, just start praying about that. Ask God to give you eyesight. Or if there's a specific people group that you don't like want to be generous to, you're like, they don't deserve it, or they'll abuse my generosity or whatever, then pray about that. And
God, and think about whether or not we deserved
generosity
from God, right? That ought to put us in our place
or
real quick.
Who's abusing whom in the relationship, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe also I would add to that that there are moments when you see an opportunity to give of yourself, and if you feel kind of a nudge in that, is to not squelch that, to not suppress that, but to act on it and see what God does with it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's wrong to feel good about serving people. So people say, oh, you should serve people to feel good. Well, You can serve people to serve them, and if you feel good and you want to go after that, great. That's a God-given gift. That's why you feel blessed when you serve people. That's why you feel filled up, because Jesus himself said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Yeah. And I think we're depriving ourselves of the joy of that results from serving people.
Yeah, I think maybe we're too introspective.
Yeah.
And we think too much about ourselves. Why not just enjoy the good life that Jesus has provided and not worry so much about, like, are we sinning all the time, and more like just keep your eyes on Jesus.
Right. Well, let's wrap that up here. I hope this was helpful for you as we consider generosity, and just encourage you to meditate on the scriptures, the things that we commented on today, and may it result in us being a grateful and generous church.
Yeah.
See you guys next time.
See ya.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.